Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You don't have to go too far to discover walls of hostility that divide people. Unfortunately, conflict is one of the most ordinary spaces in which we live as human beings. It is true at the global level. Nations constantly clashing against nation. There's conflict in the Middle East, conflict in North Korea, conflict in China, Mexico, you name it. And all these conflicts move to become fodder for the national debates and more conflict within our own nation. The mudslinging between Republicans and Democrats is going to get worse the closer we get to November. If you watch the news, you've seen it. But you know what? It's also a reality in the backseat of our car. Those sweet little innocent children draw an imaginary line between them and spit out those venomous words. Don't you dare cross that line. And then the line is crossed. You can finish the story. Well, I'd like you to think about conflict that you're experiencing in life right now. Hold it in your mind. Now, I'd like us to think about conflict like a brick wall that is built between us and another person or group. How do you build a wall? I think Ed Brandmeier can tell us. It's one brick at a time. Each of those bricks are a moment in time. They are actions taken, words spoken, love withheld, a bitter word, a hateful comment, a cold shoulder. Brick after brick is laid down until sometimes the wall is so high and so thick that it seems it will be impossible to change. Can you see that wall in your mind? The question for us today is, how can we break down that wall? I know many of you have heard this story, and it's not Christmas, but it's a great Christmas story. It comes out of World War I. The war had started in 1914, in the fall, I believe, and most thought this was going to be a quick battle and back to normal life. But sadly, it continued with huge cost of life and resources. By winter, the fields were a sludge of frozen mud and blood. It was miserable. On Christmas Eve of 1914, something so strange happened that books have been written about it. The Germans and the Allies were in the trenches just 100 yards apart from each other. The space between was referred to as no man's land. And as the midnight hour drew near, the Allied soldiers noticed the rising of a faint sound that they'd never heard on a battlefield. A Christmas carol? The German words to Stille Nacht were not familiar, but the tune Silent Night certainly was. And when the Germans finished singing, their foes broke out into cheers. Used to returning fire, the British now replied in song with the English version of the carol. It went on from there. When dawn broke that Christmas morning, something even more remarkable happened. In sporadic pockets along this 500-mile western front, unarmed Germans and Allied soldiers tentatively emerged from the trenches and cautiously crossed no man's land. The killing fields between the trenches littered with frozen corpses, eviscerated trees and deep craters. in order to wish each other a Merry Christmas. It was more than a simple greeting. The soldiers exchanged cigarettes for food. They shared stories with one another. They even played a soccer game. Political leaders had ignored the call of Pope Benedict XV to cease fighting around Christmas, but soldiers in the trenches decided to stage their own unofficial, spontaneous truce anyway. Do you see what happened? Two armies were about to kill each other, came together with a bond of peace. Why? Because just for a moment, a simple Christmas carol reminded them of the one who had come into our world of conflict to bring peace. The baby Jesus came into their mind's eye, and they shared compassion for this helpless creature who would one day give his life for the world. And for a moment, the walls came down. It is possible. Sadly, the walls of hostility went right back up, and these men continued to fight. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus from prison. It's important to note this fact because the reason he's in prison is that it's tied directly to this topic. Paul was in trouble because he had breached a wall. I'm sure you've all seen pictures, illustrations in the back of your Bible of the temple area in Jerusalem. The temple sat in the absolute heart of Jerusalem. And there were a series of courtyards that were walled off. And right in the center of the temple itself was the Holy of Holies. No one was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies except for the priest, the high priest, once a year. And then there was the courtyard of the holy place. And then there was the court where only the circumcised males, Jews, were allowed to come. The next courtyard was for the women. Again, only Jewish women were allowed here. And then way out on the side was the court of Gentiles, with a 3-foot wall surrounding the whole area there. It's often called the balustrade. Archaeologists have discovered the warning signs, literal signs, that if any Gentile were to pass this point, he'd be responsible for his own execution. In other words, if you're not a Jew, you're not welcome here. Imagine if our worship space was like that. We'd have a big curtain around the altar. I'd be allowed to go in there once a year, no one else. Around the chancel area would be another curtain. Pastor Matt could be there. And then there would be the courtyard of Israel where only the males would be allowed to attend and sit in the pews. Women, you could be out there in the narthex. That's your courtyard. And then anybody else, you can stand outside. And now enters St. Paul. He had been out traipsing around the countryside, interacting with Gentiles. He even brought some of the Gentiles back with him. Oh, the horror of it all! He was accused of bringing one of the Gentiles into his sacred space. Gasp! That's why they wanted to kill him. When Paul speaks of the wall of hostility, he's not just speaking in the abstract. He's talking about the physical representation of the division and exclusion of people from the community of God's people. Let's look at what he says. This passage can be broken down into two main parts, before and after. That's easy to remember. In the before part, he says, So then remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Pretty stark. But then comes the key phrase of the whole passage. But now. Can you say that? But now. But now. Say it one more time. But now. Something has changed because of Jesus. Look at how central Jesus is to this section. Paul continues his writing, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came, Jesus, preaching peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. You see, this is the gospel. This is the good news. Jesus has put to death the hostility through his death on the cross. You know, we say this all the time, but have we ever asked how that works? What really happens? Think about it this way. The biggest wall of hostility in the universe is a wall built between us and God. How many times have we built a wall between us and God? By our pettiness, our anger, our lying, our cheating. And on it goes. If anyone had the right to be hostile toward us, it would be God. But God looks at us. He looks at you and me, and he says, I died to destroy the wall of hostility. I died to your sin and the many times you've hurt me and you've hurt others. I forgive you and I love you. And as he looks at us with that eternal love, all the bricks disintegrate into dust. And then Jesus looks at the walls of hostility that remain between us and says, I've knocked all this down. I've proclaimed peace. How about it? What about your wall today? Look at each one of those bricks, each of those hurtful things that you want to cling on to. Once you were defined by them. Once there was the other person far off and on the other side and you on this side. But now, because of God's love demonstrated in Jesus and through the power of God's Holy Spirit moving between us, we can let go of the past, forgive the bricks, and work toward the future of peace in the presence of God. You know, I know it's more complicated than that. I realize that there are legitimate times when people need to be kept apart. However, I also think that many times we hide behind these walls and use them as an excuse for not loving the way Jesus loved us. And his love is the motivation for this wall-destroying work. The desire to take up this challenge is found in Jesus, who destroyed by his blood the wall that separates Jews from God and Gentiles from God. That's all of us. He has created one new man in the place of two, Jew and Gentile, making them one. Might the death of Christ on the cross be the impetus for us to lay down our weapons and let our hostility toward others die? Maybe this week we can start with just one brick. God is challenging us to think about the wall. Think about the bricks. Choose one thing that someone has done to you. Write it down. Ask God to give you the strength to smash that brick. Jesus has smashed it already. Let yourself see it dissolve. One brick at a time, let's let the walls come down. My friends, we have a choice here. It's a challenge, isn't it? We can either live with our past hostilities and leave the walls intact, or we can be a "but now" people. God has made us one new man in Christ. He has forgiven us our sins. He has implanted in us his Holy Spirit. He remains Lord, the head of the church, and this is his plea to each one of us. Since we have been reconciled to God in Christ and made one new man in him, let us be a reconciling people, for Jesus' sake and to his eternal glory. Amen.